Hello and welcome to the first official episode of Never a Straight Answer, a podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics, from the serious to the not so serious. And in the kitchen today, we've got Taylor and myself. And yeah,
hello,
hello Taylor. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, man, not too bad. It's a good week. Yeah, a lot of news coming. A lot of different things have happened over the last couple of months.
Has actually been a bit of a crazy week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, especially last week as well. I know that all the stuff that's been going on up in there.
And what's that?
Oh, well, you've got stuff like InfoWars.
Oh,
all
God,
that
yeah.
Stuff,
do, you know, That is the first time I've ever... I would never have thought that anybody could be banned off the internet like that, you know.
Yeah, he was a major... He was like the top player.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's one of those that, you know, the internet's always been seen as kind of a platform for free thinking, being able to kind of voice your opinions, free speech... And all that, and I mean, I'm not. I used to be a bit of a fan of Alex Jones, and I watched InfoWars.
He's got some good things, but he's a bit of a crackpot. Well, I don't mind him like that.
Fair enough. He is a bit of a crackpot. But I mean, you've got to admit, like breaking into the Bilderberg group. Broke into Bilderberg. Who was building a Dick Cheney teddy.
But he brings people on that have already done it and done it for like years. I remember there's a guy who's done it since it actually started. He didn't like it, and he basically every year when he did where they were, he was there. He knows everything about the thing. I can't remember his name. I have to try and find the name.
I just think it's I mean, a conspiracy in itself.
Well, it's not, stop there. It was a conspiracy.
Well, of course it was, because obviously these corporations have banded together to block somebody off the internet. That's what I'm getting at. It was a conspiracy to the essence that that Alex Jones is, you know, he's woke up one morning and found that a load of these major corporations have colluded against him.
To stop him from
talking. What I mean,
Apple.
Apple. Yeah. Well, I know he's been taken down off all the Apple iTunes now.
Yeah, but do you know he's got an Apple app for it as well, man.
How do you mean he's got
his
own app?
He's actually got an app with Apple.
Oh right.
With
okay.
Apple, yeah, they've turned him off the internet.
So yeah,
let him use this.
Ah, right, so what they're trying to do is to say, basically, we'll give you a bit of a platform to speak on, but it's something that people have literally got to go out and find. Yeah. You can't just...
Well, we don't actually know why.
Is it because he was getting a bit too
off?
Mainstream, do you think?
No, I think he's hitting a lot of nerves, and he's hitting a lot of nerves on different types. I mean, you could come across as... He's hitting on a lot of nerves that people don't listen to him. They've heard about him. They've heard he's a crackpot, blah, blah, this, that, and the other. But there's people that actually listen to him.
I used to think he made
totally
a lot of sense.
And get obsessed with him.
I used to honestly think he made a lot of sense. And then recently, I watched an episode of InfoWars, and he was trying to sell me his health supplements.
Yeah.
And I was watching him. And I think he was basically jabbing himself on air.
Online? With, no,
well,
fucking
yeah, well, I can't remember. He basically took a double dose of this crazy serum.
Yeah, he's supposed to help your body.
And
move.
I thought,
well, it's a simple diet.
What are you doing here, mate? I've heard bad things anyway. I mean, I've not got no idea what he's putting. What he's not putting in anything. He's just basically buying.
Well, apparently,
he's selling
good,
it on, isn't he?
Apparently it's good stuff.
Apparently it's good stuff.
Yeah. Apparently.
Well, there you go. You can take that to the bank.
If you want, but you don't put it under my name. I ain't right for that shit.
Taylor's not taking any responsibility. We will issue a disclaimer there.
Yeah, yeah. This is our views and our views only.
You mentioned a second ago the plane. Now that
that was an interesting one.
Actually made me... I mean,
well,
God
yeah,
rest,
but was it
God
shot down?
God rest the guy. No, that's what I was thinking. Will he was being tailed by
that's
two
the only
F-50s.
Question that's being asked, really.
Is it two F-15s?
Yeah, went up and tried to try to help him come down.
Now, if you've not heard about this story, basically what it was a baggage handler.
29-year-old.
A 29-year-old baggage handler. I'm not sure what airport he was operating out of, but I'm assuming he was American.
Yeah, it's a you know, the smallish, biggish airport.
So
you know,
he's doing his job. He's basically loading up a passenger prop plane, but quite a small plane.
72 people.
72, is that how many people it's here? 70
something, say.
He's decided that he's going to take it for a bit of a spin, gets it up in the air, and the conversation between him and air traffic control is just absolutely comedy gold.
Yeah,
decides that while he's up there, he'll do a few stunts, so he's barrel rolling and he says to
air traffic... Yeah, but if you were going to do something. I'm going to nick a plane, what am I going
to
do?
To be honest, mate, I'd be shit scared, and in this day and age,
If you wanted to end it and go, you know what...
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, he's got his plane, he's takes it up, he's not bothered about himself.
No, the problem is, he's not his plane, and he's actually taking it away.
Obviously, is he going to put other people in danger? That's the problem, and that's what authorities have to be.
Totally. I totally agree. I totally support the authorities on that. But at the end of the day, like the way the world's going at the minute, it's like you can't do anything. You cannot.
Well,
do anything.
You can't steal a plane. That's a given, isn't it? Really.
Someone's getting pushed.
Yeah.
If you push an animal into a corner, it's going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
It's going to attack you.
If you stick a psycho next with the keys to a plane, don't expect that he's not going to fly off in it.
Yeah, but potentially everyone's a psycho. Potentially, you could go into work tomorrow, your head's gone.
You're talking about those flights of fancy farts that everybody
has. I'm talking about you going to work tomorrow and someone says something to you and you're like, pop, right, you know what? I'm fucking sick of this, I'm sick of that,
I feel like that every day.
Of everything around
you. Yeah, no, but that's
on,
the thing.
And you walk off sick on something.
It's whether I act upon it or not.
That's the sign
of a rational human being.
Yeah.
If I decide to react or act upon those aggressive feelings,
what's
I'm not a rational
human
person.
Being? You can't put everyone under as a rational human being because everyone's being treated.
Somebody who
everyone gets treated differently.
But it's somebody who can think about the...
What, smart people?
Well, not smart people, but people who can think about the...
Consequences
of their actions.
Well, that's a big one for me around the fucking government. Consequences for their actions.
Well,
industry in the long run, it's consequences for their actions. There is no consequence for your actions now.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Only consequence is dying.
Well, that's true again, and this is another thing that comes down to
it.
Another piece of news, and it's not exactly new news at the moment, but basically, what was it? The Vatican turned around and announced hell. They said hell doesn't exist anymore.
I thought we were living in it, to be honest.
The Vatican have turned around and said there's no actual notified evidence in any of the scriptures or any literature.
Hold on, then we're worried about the diaries of the Devil's Diaries.
Well, are they considered? I'm gonna use like a Star Wars reference, but are they canon? The mythos of a religion because
They're old enough.
Because this Pope is basically saying he's an expert on this sort of dogma and this theology.
Hold on. But this Pope was nearly arrested by the sheriffs of The Hague a couple of weeks ago, and yet then two sheriffs are in hospital still because they walked up to him, which they had a warrant. They actually had a warrant to arrest him from The Hague. Went to him in, I think it was Sweden, because they have all the church, the religion and that, they all meet up there like once a year or something like that. So basically, he's walking out, the two sheriffs walk up to him and went, "Excuse me, sir, I have a warrant for your arrest."
Where was this?
This was about 3-4 weeks ago.
But where?
Where? Sweden, I think.
Oh,
it was.
Right, I was going to say.
It was either Sweden or Switzerland.
If it was, he's got no police have got jurisdiction in Vatican
City.
But
they got away with it because his bodyguards absolutely flipped on these two, put him in hospital, and he walked out.
Yeah, of course he did.
He walked out. Hold on.
Hey, I'm
right.
The fucking Pope.
Well, then that just shows that. Consequences for your actions.
This is what I'm getting at. This is the man who's turned around and said that there is no hell. Yeah, therefore, where are your consequences
your
for your actions?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we've always been scared into being good by saying that there's
a hell.
You know,
if you're not a
hell
good boy, you go
where
hell,
you're
boy.
Gonna go. You're gonna go and you're gonna get tortured for the rest of your life. But I mean, going back to this guy. In his plane.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to hand it to him. That's fine. That's not a problem. But I mean, the fact is, I mean, he's decided to himself that he's gonna take this plane and he's gonna go out in a blaze of glory.
He had the sense to actually not endanger someone's life.
This is the thing, because I'm not sure how kind of set on killing himself he was. Because during the conversation to the air traffic control, he turned around and the air traffic controller was trying to talk him down into a landing. He said, can you make a landing, try and attempt a landing? He said, well, there's one last thing I've always wanted to do. So he did a loop-the-loop, and then said, I'm going to go to jail for this for a long time, aren't I?
Yeah,
and the air traffic controller basically turned around and said, well, let's not think about that now.
Yeah.
Let's just take a left turn for me, champ.
Just land it.
Just go on, give us a left turn, will you? And we'll sort it out for you when you get down. Don't you worry.
But then everything went quiet on that, and all of a sudden, the two jets went by and the plane's on the floor.
Yep.
Now,
well,
that makes me
evaporated,
suspect that it
probably
was shot down. But then again, it depends on the creator of the area, because if it would have been shot in the air, it would have been all over the place.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And it looks like it's all over this island, so there is a possibility that it wasn't shot down, or it could have been injured. It could have been damaged.
The most comedy aspect of the whole thing is when the air traffic control said, hey, you're not doing too bad, actually, you know, we're flying there. How did you learn how to fly? And he turned around and said, flight simulations and Grand Theft Auto, been playing GTA. But he never, he's like a bit like me in this respect. I don't land the planes. I literally just jump out and let the plane crash. Taylor's an expert pilot when it comes to Grand Theft Auto or any flying simulator, to be fair.
I'm not bad.
I'd expect if it was Taylor who stole the plane, we would have been landing.
We would have landed on the sea with me on top going,
we'd be landing in Honolulu or
somewhere. You know where I'm going. Jamaica.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what, right? Actually, I'm not convinced about Jamaica.
No,
I'm sure it's a lovely country.
I bought my mate's mum's.
But I've heard the weed ain't up to much. And to be honest...
Oh, well, what's going on? Yeah,
this is only what I've heard. I can't go off personal experience.
I'll tell you why. The reason why is because the government is actually buying up all the land. He's bought up a hell of a lot of land, because he's now looking at other countries going like, you know what, they're all decriminalising it, illegalising it, so why don't we get in it? And basically, they're in for the profit, which is, you know, plenty of sun, you could get some good quality from there, so you're going to get a few batches at first, especially governmental, they're going to be shit, you know what I mean? So it's all about give it a few years and then... Let the old boys get into it again, because they're not going to be standing there going like, we'll let you take over our money, you know what I mean, and our industry.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So if you make the deal as a gang to the government, you know what? Yeah, bang.
Well, if they sort it out, I might go. So you know,
it's worth a trip, isn't it?
I'd love to go actually. Anywhere, I'm always up for a trip out. You know.
Yeah. I just got to get the passport.
So have you right? So basically, I've been looking into this topic.
Oh yes.
Right, and it's a bit of a mind-bending one, because like obviously, you know, as soon as I say it, I'm gonna sound like I'm a crazy.
I didn't even tell you thingy news that I really wanted to tell you.
Oh, go for it, sorry.
Yeah, I was just thinking there, because
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, no, I've good job I've not dropped the bombshell yet. Yeah, so you crack right. on. You tell us what you're using. What's this, right. this news?
Did you hear what Trump did on Wednesday?
Oh, go on. I don't know. What did he do?
Right, he writ an executive order, right, to stop trafficking of kids and adults, you know, around the world.
He's someone got them all in cages, isn't he?
That's a misunderstanding one, though. No. But if you think about it, if you were using kids to get in, what can they do? Give me your DNA, bang, right, you out, right, there you go, you can either stay in America or fuck off.
Well, I tell you what, that you've just given me an idea for an upcoming thing about that sort of DNA providing information and identity cards and stuff like that.
Well, basically, he's done this executive order to stop running a child.
Which is fair enough. That should be done. We shouldn't be running.
Bam! Just hit the biggest load or the biggest, apparently the biggest traffic movers. They've just hit them, and they've got the fucking evidence right there and then, and they're taking them in.
Good
stuff. So that was I thought today was a pretty good indication, good news that at least we're going in the right direction. I mean, well, the only man I think is doing the work is Trump.
People do give Trump a bad press, and he is a
he does come across as
a bit of a nitwit. He does actually do what he says he's going to do.
Well, put him in Brexit, he would have cleared it up.
To be honest,
now.
I think like most people, he's got a lot of ideas.
Yeah,
whether a lot of those ideas are going to fly. Who knows? Yeah. But I mean, if at the end of the day, yeah. It's like the expression: you throw enough shit, some's gonna stick.
Yeah.
And if he gives 10 ideas a shot and only two of them come off, then
and he's worked it come off.
You basically what's that expression? It's like, you know, I can't remember what it was in a film, and he basically says like it took Edison 100 tries to invent the light bulb.
Yeah.
But what did he learn? 99 ways not to make a light bulb.
Yeah, well, that's
it. Do you know what I mean? And all it takes is that one way that does work, and people will go, oh my God, he's such the fucking great guy. And it's like, you know, anyway.
People need to be able to express themselves, and they can't express themselves no more because you've got to pay for this, or you've got to have a license for that, or you've got to go all the way at it to do it.
Do you know
what? Or you can't because you've either been in prison or you've done something. You know,
there are too many restrictions on life these days, which is unfortunate, but...
There is, and it will end up being...
Well,
you know what I think.
Well, let's not get too deep on that anyway at the moment.
I've not my news today on that.
So is that your news roundup for the day?
Go for Aiden, that's a fucking good one. That's a good answer.
Give us a gist.
I'll tell you what, I want to go more in depth in this.
All right,
I just literate a little bit here, and then this is an up and coming show.
Alright, no worries.
Of something that come out on WikiLeaks that is being covered up big time by every country around the world. Every country was called up to this, and it was hidden. But now things are coming forward, but we'll go into that another time.
And
to get some more information.
You sounded very cryptic.
Well, yeah, I don't give much away, but Gulf of Aden, have a look on Gulf of Aden.
Okay, so I'm going to have a Google, I'll find out what I can find out, and then next time we could possibly have a nice little chat about it during the news.
Very interesting.
So I'm going to bust on to my topic, because this is, I tell you what, mate, my YouTube channel, basically I don't have it, well I do have a YouTube channel, but my YouTube history is just completely this. It is like I've slept, worked Paul McCartney for the last month.
I'm not even joking,
yeah, right. People are sick of hearing me talk about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul this, Paul that. Oh, fuck off.
Well, no, is it? Well, now this is the
well,
point.
Is it Paul?
Is it Paul that we're talking about, or is it somebody else? This is the thing. This is a rumour that goes back to the 1960s, 1966, that Paul McCartney has been replaced if you can believe it, by...
aliens.
But you heard it here first, people. Yeah, Paul McCartney is replaced by aliens. No, Paul McCartney, apparently, was in a car crash in 1966. Have you heard this?
Yes, I have heard he's had a car crash. What happened?
Right, well, the story goes...
I like the bit you give me today.
Right, there's many twists and turns in this. Yeah. And based on all the documentary evidence and forensic evidence... there is actually forensic evidence, and I'll go into that a little bit later on. Okay. And it all pertains to his children, and also... dental records. We'll go into that. So basically, the legend. I'm gonna say legend, as in say story.
Yeah, man. Yeah, one of the Beatles, one of the main four. Fucking yeah, hell yeah, man. I mean, they were the biggest pop star in the world at one point for not like a week or two, but for years, man. I mean, they're one of them groups that like you could.
They're one of them bands that, you know, they basically define a genre of music, don't they?
Yeah.
So basically, the legend goes that during a recording session at Abbey Road Studio, Paul McCartney, their manager Brian Epstein, and Ringo were all... Yeah, it is Brian Epstein, isn't it?
So I'm thinking of something else through Brian Epstein.
Recording in the studio for an upcoming album.
Do you know what album it was?
Do you know what? I think it was... do you know what? I don't actually know that at the moment. That one's a Sgt. Pepper album. Oh, yeah. Right, so what happens is... Paul McCartney has been asked to write.
Should have had that on. Go on, carry on.
Listen, I've got enough going on.
Yeah.
Right. In this, without being.
You should have had it in the background going.
Why do you think it's on? Basically, Taylor's pointing at my record player, which has Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band on it. So that's because I've been listening to it, haven't I? That's because I'll get
cryptic
some
clues.
Cryptic clues, yeah. And something I'll get to in a second. Which is just like, you know, if you know anything about this, you'll know where I'm going with this. So basically, Paul McCartney's stressed out. John Lennon's in Spain.
Why is he stressed out?
Well, because...
What would have been going on with his life around about that time? Well, apart from the Beatles, obviously.
Well, basically, the pressure's on the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
And apparently John Lennon's off in Spain. He's filming a film called How I Won the War, which was like a war movie.
Oh, right.
So the pressure was on Paul, who was, you know, part of Lennon McCartney. He's the backbone of the band, the songwriting team.
Yeah.
So he's been told he needs to write 5 new songs.
Right.
And all the pressure's on him, so he gets pissed off. He has a bit of a tantrum, has a bit of a wobble. And then he leaves the studio.
Yeah.
Now, like I say, there's a couple of different versions of these stories. One of the stories states he gets into his Aston Healy.
Right.
The other says he gets into his Mini.
Right.
Right.
Now, I've seen a photo of this.
Yeah.
I've seen a photo.
I was just about to get to that.
I don't think that's a Mini myself.
No, that does look like an Austin Healy.
Yeah, it does.
And one of the clues relating to the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, if you just want to grab the album sleeve there, Taylor.
I'll grab the album there.
If you look on the doll's leg, just to the right-hand side of the album.
Why has it got a doll
leg? If you look on its leg, what do you see there?
I see red shoes.
No, what do you see on a knee?
Okay.
Well, he's got bad eyesight, but what I'm going to point at there is a little white Austin Healy toy car.
Oh.
Which is just pointing there.
She should have worn a black dress then.
So it's the story goes...
The I know, yeah. Room,
well,
you know,
it's trying to be subtle. It. Trying to be subtle, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, man.
So basically, the story goes... Feeling annoyed, dejected... Paul McCartney leaves the studio in a tempo, in a rage, and it's a stormy night, and he's driving off, and he comes across a hitchhiker, a young girl, and basically he says this young girl's flagged him over. He's stopped. It's nice of him to pull over.
Yeah.
Especially in a mood as well, do you know what I mean? It's like, well, saying that though, young guy sees a nice young lady at the side of the road.
Was he in a relationship
in
at that time?
No. So,
no.
You know,
well, there you are then, yeah.
So he's pulled over. It doesn't take her long to work out that, you know, he's a Beatle.
Yeah.
And, you know,
she's going all crazy.
She starts going ballistic, starts shaking him. Going, oh my God, it's Paul fucking McCartney. She's pissing in her knickers. She's grabbed Paul. He's lost control.
Yeah.
Gone through a red light and been hit by a truck. Taking the car out. The car's a write-off. Now,
injuries.
Yeah. Now, again, there's a divergence in the story, because in one story, the girl as well as Paul were fatally injured, decapitated, and the girl, who for argument's sake we call Rita, because that's who she's referred to in these documentaries. They basically say she's the inspiration for Rita the Meter Maid. If you're into the Beatles songs, you'll know who that is. Lovely Rita Meter Maid. I'm not going to sing the rest of it.
No, I don't want you scared, mate.
But we'll get to another thing about her later on.
Yeah.
Because once...
This was the thing that you was telling me today, that you found out.
But we won't get to that bit yet.
So they've crashed.
So they've crashed.
Is there any reports by the police, ambulance?
Basically, there is one
news.
The only news source was a magazine, which was a pop magazine.
What?
Right, which ran an article that Paul McCartney had died, and then retracted it straight away. Right.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. I would have thought I'd been all over the papers and all over that.
Well, you would
been
do, wouldn't
Beatle.
You?
Yeah.
So
from there, the suspicion straight off, because there's no actual hard evidence to say that the actual accident happened, or that anyone was in the accident, or any fatalities, injuries, anything like that. So the only way you could get a report, which I suppose only Paul can get, or the girl, if you knew who the girl was.
Yeah.
You go to the hospital and you get their records. But then even then, records back then would have been, scatty.
There's actually a documentary kind of, it's an audio documentary, and how it goes is this rock journalist says that he'd received two tapes through the post, and it was the last testament of George Harrison. And it was the story of how they replaced Paul, in his own words.
Now, so all this is basically started from these two tapes?
No, these tapes have been released after George Harrison died, right?
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I've listened to these tapes.
Yeah.
Now, it's very narratively, it would make a cracking movie.
Is it on the internet?
Yeah, it is on the internet. You can find it on YouTube. And it's called The Last Testament of George Harrison,
right?
And the way he tells the story is like a detective novel. He's basically
the characters. He's trippy man. Though,
the
guy. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's the characters he kind of brings out. He says basically after the crash, he's approached by a guy called Maxwell, who's a MI5 operative,
right?
Who comes and collects the remaining Beatles and said that they need them to identify the body, right?
Right, okay.
John Lennon's in his version of events,
right?
He wasn't off filming anything, he was there,
He was there, so he witnessed it.
They go to see him, And it's the details that make me think it's a bit sketchier, because it's like stuff like he said he's when the saw the decapitated head, his teeth were knocked out apart from two, and Maxwell said, "Oh, he looks like a bloody walrus, doesn't he?" And he's and John started ranting at him. Yeah, I'm the walrus. No, yeah. I'm the walrus. Yes. You know, and it was. It's,
no one knows it's one of the songs.
Yeah, it's kind of came across a bit cheesy, right?
But yeah,
it's an alternative viewpoint on the story, so I'm gonna bring it up.
Yeah. But who's that coming from?
Well, it's apparently coming from George Harrison, but
who told someone else?
I've got to admit, on this tape, the accent keeps going into a bit of a Cockney twang, like someone's trying to put on a Liverpudlian accent. But anyway,
Try to start a rumour off.
So, this Maxwell's brought him in and basically said, we need to keep this under wraps because...
Yeah, because you don't want it.
At the height of Beatlemania...
I don't know if you've ever
seen those clips where the Beatles are getting off the plane in New York.
That's like the biggest one that you see most of the time.
And basically the crowds and the fans were screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, as a music fan, that is not a gig I'd like to go to because I wouldn't be getting to listen to much music.
I'd end up with perforated
eardrums.
It was the beginnings of the rock and roll.
The closest we can kind of put that to now is, say, like One Direction, where you get these kids going absolutely ballistic for a boy band.
It was Take That when I was a kid.
This is what I'm getting to, because when I was in school and Take That broke up,
You were crying, weren't you? You ripped your pulse off the rock.
I absolutely shed a whopper of a tear Gary Barlow and the boys.
Oh, no.
Do you know what? No, I didn't. but what I'm getting at is they had a suicide hotline.
Yeah, there was a crisis.
For distraught fans. Nobody died in that. It was basically somebody who, you know, a band that broke up, you know.
Imagine the power of it, though. The power of suggestion is, look at these lads.
Yeah.
Look what they are. Get your heart and soul into these fuckers.
You've all got your favourite, I'm a Robin.
Yeah, you know everything
about him, I'm a Ringo, I'm a Paul, you know, yeah. I'm a John.
Yeah,
you know.
which if you think in the long run, that's not good for society.
Because then it fucks them up because
the heartbreak or something like that or makes them a lot... It might make some people stronger, but it could make some people weaker as well.
Well, imagine all of those Paul McCartney fans, all of those young girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there was reports of them pissing, urinating in the streets because they were so overwhelmed with the fact that the Fab Four had come to town.
Can't say that now. Mind you, you see it after the pubs most times.
They were, St. John's Ambulance and the Red Cross were absolutely, like, swamped with fainting teenagers. Now, imagine... The news gets out that the favourite Beatle had died. And not only that, some bands have built their success through that. Well, a lot of people were making a lot of money off the Beatles at that point in the career. And, you know, it was a case of, do we let this carry on? Do we let this gravy train end? And there's only a couple of things you can do, really, isn't he? Now, the story goes that this Maxwell potentially offered the MI5 services to find a replacement for Paul McCartney.
Where would you start with something like that?
Where would you start? Well, again, there's a couple of rumours towards
this. And why? That's another one. Why? Except for... Yeah, I understand that it comes across that, like, yeah, keep the band together. But people must have noticed some things.
And people did notice things. And this is it, because... And when people didn't notice,
was there a big period when he wasn't there? Because you needed that time through his death to find someone to actually bring him in. You couldn't bring someone straight in and go, boom.
Funny enough, they decided not to tour from 1966 onwards. Decided to just be recording artists, that they were going to just go to the studio. They wasn't going to do any more touring or live shows. Basically, they'd been performing for 5 years. They'd had some really successful albums. At that point, they decided they were going to have a bit of rest, no more tours. They were going to just concentrate on being recording artists. And, you know, so at a point where, you know, they've decided this, it would have been fairly easy for them to just have, you know, a session musician come into the studio or, you know, replace him for public, you know, get a lookalike. And now again, there's a couple of instances where in certain documentaries they say that they held a Paul McCartney lookalike competition, but a winner was never announced. But one of the bigger theories is that he was a session musician. So basically, he'd William Campbell. William Campbell Shepherd, right? And so the story is that this guy, William Campbell Shepherd, was a session musician. He was in bands himself.
And he lived in Liverpool.
Yeah, he was a Liverpool lad. He was in bands on the Merseybeat, right?
All right.
And he was in a band, actually, believe it or not, called Billy Pepper and the Pepper Pots.
Pepper Pots? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Billy Pepper and the Pepper Pots. And on these, on the albums, which you can actually find, right?
Yeah.
There's actually a really good documentary called Who Is This Now? By Mitch Feeling, and that is really good. It's a very nice take on it, and it's really well put together.
Yeah.
And basically, he goes round record shops. He's talking to people and telling them the story of it.
Oh, was that the one you sent me?
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting. I like the way they he just went up to normal people and just said,
Did you know this Paul McCartney was dead?
Yeah, I did. And they were secretly filmed.
Yeah, so I mean, where was it going with him? So, what was your question? You stoner. Right, so basically, yeah, so there was people started noticing that so the Billy Pepper and the Pepper Pots, that's where we were up to.
Yeah.
So like he's found these records, and on both of the records that he finds, on both sides of the record there's a Beatles cover, right? A cover of a Beatles song, right?
So
you know, this guy.
So he's already been practicing for.
Yeah, basically. Well, he was known as a man of a thousand voices, right? He could essentially go into a recording studio, listen to a couple of tracks from an artist, and if the artist wasn't feeling up to it, he could do a bit of, listen to a couple of tracks, and he could essentially mimic the voice, right? At the end of the day,
you are listening to a certain.
Obviously,
you know,
if you pay for a Beatles album,
you want the Beatles album.
Is it any different to what? I mean, nowadays, it's all auto tuning.
I totally agree.
They do so much manipulation in a recording studio these days. At least back in the day, they got an actual guy in. They got a real person in to do a bit of singing. Now, on the song Yesterday, right? This is how prominent these sort of guys were on the song Yesterday. Paul McCartney, they did a voice analysis on the vocals on Yesterday, and it's supposed to be Paul McCartney singing.
Okay.
They found three voices on that track, one of which was Paul McCartney. Two of the others were people.
Other people or one other person?
It could be one other person, or it could have been two session musicians. Now, William Campbell Shepherd was, again, like I say, he was in the Mersey Beat, he was a Liverpool boy, he was a session musician, so no doubt he knew the Beatles, or probably played with them at some point, either in a studio or elsewhere. Maybe support at a gig. Yeah. You never know, you know, you never know what the crack is there. So
you're saying this guy
was already basically waiting in the wings.
He's been waiting in the wings, yeah, for so long.
So
he was his manager, fucking hell.
Well, maybe, you know, at the end of the day, this guy was just a guy who, with a bit of plastic surgery, could make a very convincing Paul McCartney. Now,
yeah, well, there's loads of people who go out there and spit an image of it, and people do get fooled by it. And it, I mean, there's an industry around it now. So, yeah, I could see that standing off. And also, I know the government's in, like, the 40s and 50s were getting up to the like brainwashing or the disguise of things, or like, this is how we're going to do it from now on. Like, we're not going to tell anyone, we're just going to hide it behind their backs and let them like work it out for themselves, but don't worry because everyone's got a blindfold on. Well, everyone, you don't stop learning after you leave school.
This is it. But they say that the guy who replaced Paul was an actually far superior musician. He could, he was better at arranging, he could play more string instruments.
But then you could say that.
And as well,
the person's getting
whereas
better,
Paul McCartney, the original Paul McCartney, was a left-handed bass player.
Right.
Fall, as they started to call him, the false Paul, was right-handed, and there was a lot of evidence of him holding cigarettes in his right hand, drinking cups of tea.
He could
actually play his guitar in his right hand, but always put it in the left for photos during, you know, Beatle or play with his left.
That could be just for, like, photos and that, you know, like, publicity. I look like sexy, like this.
Yeah, well, potentially.
I walk this way, I look a little downfall. Oh, man, it could be like, it could be like them kind of poses. I mean, people, like, players and that get fucking money. Bags full of money for just doing that alone. So it's got publicity if they're looking good instead of looking a bit, your right hand side of your face is looking a bit awful.
Well, this is the thing though, because there was very noticeable differences. People did start taking notice. If the internet was out back then, like, you know, I think it would have been found, somebody would have said something sooner. And it took around about a good 5 years before anybody actually brought it up. So the story continues. They basically get the new Paul McCartney in the recording studio. John Lennon says, well, I've got enough material
for the both of us
that we've written between us to last a fair long time.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get this guy in. We won't tour and we'll just do...
We'll lie in a bed with my Yoko.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll get to the wives of the Beatles. But basically, so...
Well, then, do you reckon this accident was an accident?
Well, you never know because...
Do you find liable in the accident?
Well, Paul McCartney was never kind of advocate of anything, really. He never turned around and said,
right,
I smoke, guys, it's great. Guys, you know, I just wanted to say smoking is really bad for you, you know. And he never had an agenda in terms of like what he wanted to push. He'd say, we make radio pop hits, you know. And the fact is, I think he was against stuff like the Vietnam War and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't think there could have been that much of a reason to kill him in terms of from that day and age, because he was kind of, they were still on the back of like all the early 1960s stuff, which is a bit more bubblegum, do you know what I mean?
Rather than the
psychedelic stuff that they came to be known as, known for later on.
Yeah.
And that was the pre-fall, or post-fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Now, Billy Pepper, or, you know, Billy Shepherd,
yeah,
as he was known, kind of comes up as well in some of the clues. And these, so basically, you know, this guy's gone through all this plastic surgery. He's
if this is the guy, right? He's had plastic surgery. Done
yeah, because it, and this is it. It's
and this
like,
is in the 1960s.
He does change his appearance changes quite drastically from 1966 to 1967.
Yeah, I've seen a few photos, right? But don't forget, he just had an accident.
Well, how do we know he had an accident? Because he was actually basically, this is what I was getting at, that one magazine earlier. Yeah. Where fans would basically, let me find it here, they put it to bed. They basically said, Paul is fine, the car is fine, there'd been no accident as far as anyone was concerned.
So if this
accident occurred, it was kept totally hush. Right.
Yeah.
It was only the fact that rumours came out later on about this accident.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a minute, because basically, like you say, he's had his plastic surgery, and you know, the three remaining Beatles must be weirded out by this. Do you know what I mean? They've lost a friend.
I'll be asking for some fucking lot more money than what I was getting. They've had to kind of bury him.
Yeah, yeah. And they reckon he was buried just outside of Blackpool. Right. A small service, and basically the song Eleanor Rigby was supposed to be Father McCartney,
right?
And the song was supposed to be about Paul being buried, the father writing a sermon for no, you know, that nobody will hear, and
all that sort
of stuff. And the song Eleanor Rigby, they chose that name because it was a grave that was actually in the graveyard that they met in when they were young, and they used to imagine what she died of, because it never actually said on the gravestone. It was more like not an unmarked grave, but it had a name, had no reason for death. So they used to pretend and work and make up stories to how she died. So he thought it was quite fitting that he'd changed the name to Eleanor Rigby, when it was actually supposed to be Paul McCartney, the song was about. So they say that only the Beatles and Paul's mum and dad were at the service, and they actually buried Paul themselves. So
do you reckon there's enough evidence from his parents to actually suggest that they know that there's... Why are they going to be quiet? Like I said earlier,
there's forensic evidence, and there was forensic and DNA, right? And basically, people have gone to Paul McCartney's brother and said,
right,
can you give us DNA so we can prove that these kids... It's DNA, isn't it? Like, if he's Paul McCartney's genuine brother, then the DNA should be in the family.
So
there is controversy within lineage
and
as well.
He's not doing it.
Why don't you just shake his hand? We'll get to that.
Take his fucking hand off. Run up to him, make his hair small.
He's probably wearing a syrup at his age as well nowadays. You know, so basically he's buried in Blackpool. John, George and Ringo have all buried him. And, you know, they've had to get on with it.
You just buried your mate and they want you to carry on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's the you're doing it for the fans, you're doing it for your career. You know, one Beatle down, is it going to be the end of your career forever?
It's the hidden cost behind it. And like most things, eventually you get caught out.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, well, this is it. If this is true, this is the longest running practical joke or cold case.
Yeah.
In music history, in rock history. because...
Well, have they had all detectives go into this? And
well, why would they? I think it's because there's no...
Well, like you said, it could be like a cold case. Now, like, if you've just been a copper, I mean, the amount of coppers who've come out and gone, I'm a bit bored there.
Well...
You know what? I like investigating this, that, and the other.
Oh yeah,
if you had
a slow week.
I've been
absolutely kind of, as you can tell, I've been getting really into this.
Yeah.
So, like I say, Billy Pepper or Billy Shepherd.
Yeah.
His first album with the Beatles is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and it's supposed to signify. The death of the old Beatles and
the
birth of the new. So if you look, they basically stood over a drum that's supposed to signify a gravestone,
yeah.
And they've got loads of people around them, and it's like they're all stood over a grave. Now, if you look at it,
all of them, bar Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's smiling. The others are just normal, like. And like, you know, I'm not, well, I don't want to like, you know.
Well, there's loads of different...
and you got mourners in the corner.
Lots of different sort of things about these album art covers.
You know about that?
That kind of make Paul stand out in a lot of different ways. So on the back cover, he's the only one with the back to us. And all the other Beatles are facing forward. On the front cover, he's stood there and he's got a hand over his head, which signifies like the afterlife. If you look at
of photos like that, don't
there's, yeah, so basically there's in a lot of the album art, if you look at Paul McCartney, he's got a hand over his head, which is kind of like I say, a signifying. They say it,
and these arts are from different people.
Well, they say it's
like
an Indian sort of tradition that, or an Indian mark of respect. But again, in this memoirs of George Harrison or Last Testimony of George Harrison, he basically says it's what the priest did as he were laying, laying down into the earth.
Yeah.
So, all the people in the album are people that Paul admired, but then you've got. Really kind of weird people like you got Marilyn Monroe,
yeah.
Like earlier on, or people who've had brushes with death or are dead, right? And but
how
people
do you mean on that one?
Well, if you look at the who's there, Marilyn Monroe's dead, you've got James Dean who crashed in a car, then you've got like Albert Einstein, Bob Dylan apparently had a motorcycle accident, So, you know, you've got a lot of people who had brushes with death or died in tragic ways. Who was that? What was he called? The kind of the Satanist from the I forgot his name now. Basically, he's a Satanist. He was a basic in...
Are you on about the guy in... I think he's... In America, where he's put himself as like.
No, this is right. he's dead now, I think. But basically,
yeah, this is
like
quite a while ago, where he.
Oh well, I know what his name is, but it's on the tip of my tongue. But if you've got, you could put it in the comments if you remember, and I'll probably remember by then anyway. But basically, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Carry
now.
On and it'll
right.
come. Carry
so
on.
Basically, he was talking about like backwards talking and magic, but magic with a K. And it was supposed to be like some sort of like Satanist or ritualistic sort of stuff.
Houdini.
It was...
What did he do? Go on. What's he most famous
for?
Yeah,
he was famous for basically running a Satanist cult, right?
Okay.
And he's on the front cover of that thingy, and he tried to speak backwards. He was trying to talk backwards
in tongue,
and basically that gave John Lennon the idea of backwards masking.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Speaking backwards and having it reversed, and basically it wasn't that he was messing around in the studio, and they kind of got that idea. But
yeah, bring some new stuff to the music.
I knew we'd get it. It's Aleister Crowley.
Right.
That's it, Aleister Crowley. So yeah,
see.
So he was really into all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And basically, knowing that they couldn't really directly tell the fans, and to try and probably get rid of a bit of the guilt as well, you know, on the sort of topic. You know,
you mean they, like pour it out, but pour it out in the song
but
instead of in
subtle ways, so leaving clues, leaving clues for the fans, and leaving clues that to point at the fact that they were under pressure to do this, and basically, you know,
are you sure this ain't like the Da Vinci kind of cold kind of stuff? You know what
That's how it feels.
Like,
do you know,
when you look into a cloud and you see such stuff.
Well, do you know what it feels like? It feels like a Stanley Kubrick sort of mystery. It feels like I'm watching The Shining, and basically there's clues there, but only if you're looking for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like now it's on my mind, and I'm looking.
You're finding.
I'm
things,
finding
yeah.
things, and it's making it kind of so. I've gone from the point of believing it in a funny sort of way, going, haha, yeah, Paul McCartney's not really Paul McCartney. Have you heard that conspiracy? To totally not believing it, swinging back round to believing it so much that it's making me crazy. Yeah, so.
Well, so, that's why I always say, like, after you, like, so, do some intense work like that, then
the
you
first, so,
lay
you
back
know,
a week.
Well, basically, you've got this Sgt. Pepper's album, right? The Sgt. Pepper's song was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Yeah? It has a line in it where it says, "Well, let's introduce to you the one and only Billy Shears." Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, Billy Shears is supposed to be the new Paul. Billy Shears is Billy Shepherd. What do shepherds do? They shear sheep. It was a silly play on words.
I got a problem with that because, like, you've just taken a set of words.
And it was three Alvins by him, actually, on the Mersey beat. Sorry.
Ah, sick.
Go on, sorry.
You've taken a little proportion out of, like what the newspapers do, or like the papers or BBC. You've taken a little portion out of what the whole song. Now,
oh,
if you
no.
did it with all of it going, if you told me it with all of it, then it might make
pass
sense
me that
in
album.
Different.
Pass
different.
Me that album cover. Now
that
this
you're
is
actually
it.
Telling me a different
this is,
story.
This is
so
the start of this is the start of it. Now that's one thing that made me kind of go, oh yeah, that's a nice little play on words. He's Billy Shears, Billy Shepherd.
But you're looking
it
for
goes,
it.
Goes. I'm not just looking for it. It screams out at you. I mean, there's a whole where George Harrison's pointing on the back of the cover. It says he's pointing to Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. Now, apparently,
right,
that's when the car crash happened at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
The words we were talking about the space between us all. Within you, without you, will go through Paul's head, and
what are you saying? Decapitation.
The whole, decapitation. The song, "It's Getting Better All the Time" is referring to the fact that Paul's getting better at being Paul all the time.
Okay.
He's basically, you know. He's being more convincing, his accent's getting better, the plastic surgery's working.
Yeah.
So there's the line. In a song, I think it's A Day in a Life. So he blew his mind out in a car. He had not noticed that the lights had changed.
Oh.
A group of people stopped and stared.
The people. There's where you need the people.
It's creative license, isn't it? I suppose it's like he wasn't witness to the event, but
well,
it's all these these little clues that started people thinking that there was something going on. Now.
Yeah, but I could
what
do that and make
is,
you think there's pink elephants in the fucking
room. All right then.
You know
Let's
what I mean?
Go,
it's...
Totally agree. And this is what I'm going to go through, right?
Yeah.
Now, bear in mind, we've just gone through all the photographic clues on the album artwork.
Yeah, the petal at the bottom, there's five.
Because there was five
brother,
Beatles.
Yeah.
We've gone through all lyrics. We've gone through the fact that... Here's a thing for you. The album liner notes were the this was the first album to actually have liner notes, and it's normally they're normally white.
Yeah.
And these are like kind of soaked in blood. So there's that. Yeah. Another thing
it's
is
nice little,
like I said,
it reminds me of the Sea Effect.
Earlier on I was talking about Aleister Crowley and how he started kind of going on about backwards masking and getting kind of like secret messages hidden in your audio. And there's loads of clues in that as well, basically. It's like if you listen to basically, it started off in the 60s where what happened was there was a...
They've been using it actually earlier than that.
Well, it was being developed earlier than that.
Yeah, but because they used it in the war.
So, right.
Sort of a code, you could put codes into songs.
Oh, right, okay.
Stuff like that.
So there'll be blue skies over the white cliffs of Dover were like... Charlie Tango, Foxtrot,
well,
we've got
to... started with the Germans. The Germans started, but we were breaking their codes. I was listening to something on GCHQ today, which is our intelligence on, like, everything electrical, basically. Anything you want to hear or see goes through there.
Oh, yeah, there's a big clue on the actual album cover of the Sgt. Pepper's album, where... Oops, if you put a mirror to the
the
drum, it says 1-1-X he die, which is supposed to be the date
X is 10.
Of when he dies. So, well, again, there's a bit of confusion with the date.
What did it say on the record for the time and death? The accident happened?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Because could it correspond with that?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. It corresponds with the date. But yeah, there's a bit of confusion with the date as well, because we're from, you know, obviously the Beatles are English. And in my English ears, it's read, say, the first of the second 92 would be the 1st of February 1992. Whereas the Americans see it as the 2nd of January 1992.
Yeah, they put 1st, don't
they? Yeah, exactly. Like, so there's a bit of confusion. I think there's the 11th of September and the 9th of November.
Yeah.
Now, I think it was the 11th of September that this all happened on 1966. So how it came about was they'd basically been dropping clues in all the albums since... For the next 3 years, there was the Magical Mystery Tour.
Yesterday, today, all the weed and all the pills and that they've been having, and you know.
Well, actually, Paul McCartney, like I say, started. He was smoking a lot of weed because of all the plastic surgery. He was like, you know, needing it. He was like in a lot of pain, and he was like helping. But he started getting really on it,
and
he ended up
as well.
He ended up getting arrested in Japan for having for marijuana. He was on he was getting off the plane, and he was caught by customs and arrested, and had to do a public apology, and then. Before that, he basically told the reporters that he was taking LSD. And when the reporter said, "Well, why did you tell us?" He said, "Well, you asked me a question. I had the choice there to answer honestly and tell you that I did, or I could have lied about it. But you know, I answered the question." Now, you as a reporter, now this is what makes me think he's very childish. He said, you went off and went and spread it. You're the one who went and spread it.
Is that my fault?
If you're going to go and spread it, that's how he was putting it. And it made me laugh because basically that's a really primary school sort of way of talking. It wasn't actually picked up by... Oh, the height of Paul.
Yeah.
Well, there's photos of him pre-1966 where he's actually around about the same height as Ringo. which right. he, but 1967 he grows he grows a couple of
grows a couple of feet.
Yeah,
could have been wearing platforms. I actually thought that
when I was watching something the other day, and I thought, could there be a logical explanation for that? But no, it was on record that Paul McCartney was 2 feet taller than Ringo, right?
Before or after?
The fact that his eye colour slightly
did
changed.
Did they have dates before, though? And then after the accident? So there was a big change.
Yeah.
So that alone, how can you lose 2 feet?
Well, you don't.
That alone,
you
how can you lose 2 feet? That's just a simple question. And anyone thought about going up to him and going, "Oi, Paul, how did you lose that 2 feet, mate? Because you
trying...
know what I mean? I've got an interview next week and I'm a bit tall for it.
Oh, I'm trying to get in with a girl and she only likes tall lads.
Yeah, I mean, she's having it because I'm a bit tall. So, you know, I can't go up with the platforms, you know, like...
Well, I'm just trying to find the name of the DJ when this all came out, because basically it was in 1969.
Yeah.
And a student had called a college campus.
Yeah.
It was Ross Gibb. So they basically it was a music hour. Right. On Ross Gibb's show, and it was basically a college lad had rang up. And he basically said, "Have you heard that Paul McCartney's dead, and he's been replaced with a double?" And Ross is like, "What are you on about?" And he goes, "Well, it's just I've heard this rumor that Paul McCartney's had a car accident, and I was wondering what your thoughts were about that."
And he said, "Is that a paper or something?"
This was a radio calling, like. Right. So this lad, who was a student, apparently this rumour had been going around the college campuses, and it had taken 3 years. No, because this is it. He had
the kids at college campus.
He'd explained all what I've explained to you tonight. He basically took over the radio show that night, explaining this story. He told him about, if you play a Beatles record backwards, it gives you secret messages. Well, no, it was backwards masking.
Yeah.
So there's certain parts in Beatles songs where if you play it backwards, it's supposed to be a hidden message. I've got some of these here, So, you know, I'm going to play some and see what you think.
Yeah.
Now, let me just get this up for you.
Well, while you're doing that, why don't we talk about their other half?
Right, well, no, I've not got to that yet.
Oh, you don't want to get to that?
Well, no, well, we can get there. Well, I just want to skirt over the clues, but we're going to get to this that bit soon, because there's quite a lot to go through, because there's, like, quite a few...
All together,
right, so this is basically... And that's it backwards. And it's supposed to say, "I buried Paul." And this is the Billy Shears. And backwards, it's supposed to say, "Fish is dead." Obviously, come together. Now, I don't. Some of these, I'm not sure about. Not that one.
Mind you, we'd have to hear it over and over again to get that pitch to work out what I'm saying.
I always think if I was to tell you what I think it said, you'd hear that straight away because it's suggestible.
Not necessarily. It depends how deep you throw it in.
Paul is waiting, Paul is bloody.
Well, why would you say that on an album? Well, you've been to me then, but this is just showing that, right, well, they're in the devil worship.
Potentially. When they're turning around and they're kind of talking about...
it's like voodoo kind of shit, you know what I mean? It's like, if, now you
look... Well, they're talking about, like, having Aleister Crowley as a kind of a somebody they admire, and they're talking about these one of these backwards masking where it says, we will all become magic supermen. You know, and that's magic with a K, which points back to this is what I'm getting at. I mean, a lot of people believe that this is just a really elaborate hoax by the Beatles. I mean, you can go on YouTube and you can find some of those sort of some more of those.
You know what I mean? Even experimentally fucking drugs they were all on.
Well, this is it. Well, again, I want to go back to this George Harrison testimony, because basically, do you know where he says the reason why they all went to India?
Yeah.
Was because they wanted to try and get this Maharaja to transfer the spirit of Paul McCartney into Fall. Yeah. And they didn't tell him about this. They just took him there and they thought... Oh, he's stupid. He doesn't know. You know what I mean?
So this guy's just been told, we're going to India. You're getting your fucking face.
Yeah, but he's a Beatle.
And whatever. We can't put any feet on you, but we can do. You know what I mean?
Well, the Abbey Road is more clues.
It must have been one.
The Abbey Road covers a really good kind of one for the clues as well, because basically it's like they're saying that that's a funeral procession. Who?
This new pop.
Oh, well, you know,
don't forget all the projects that like come out about what's been going on in America and stuff like that, like Ultra and stuff like this. Mm. But it's been going on. He's actually been going on since early 40s.
Yeah.
So like.
Oh well, don't get me.
I mean, like the way I see it, like terrorism now, like for the ISIS thing. There's reports somewhere that
you mean like mind control or something like that.
2 months to change him. Now there's got to be something there to fucking have done that, because
there's stories of Yoko Ono being. No, well, Yoko Ono,
well,
right?
Yeah,
we all know Yoko Ono is a bit of a nut. But basically, there's stories of Yoko Ono being a bit of a witch in a bit of a sense of Harry Potter-esque, right? So basically, hypnotized. They believe that Fall was maybe hypnotized by Yoko to believe that he was Paul. Maybe he was so into it that he, by all accounts, he fell into being Paul McCartney pretty well, and he was getting a bit arrogant with it, because with being one of the most famous Beatles Beatles. Oh, he loved the limelight. He loved being.
Yeah, we'll get the fucking car if I was in.
There's interviews with. Well, it wasn't him.
Wasn't him who crashed the car, was it? but he'd be the next one, won't he?
There's interviews with him where he doesn't seem to know what he's talking about. He doesn't seem to know how the media works. And considering he'd been in a band, the biggest band in the world for the last 5 years.
That's what happened to Brian Harvey, and look what the fuck happened to him, you know what I mean?
Well, that's for another day, So basically, Paul McCartney's fell into it. But there was a young lady who was travelling around. She was a photographer for like music and stuff like that, Linda Asher. Who Paul fancied a bit. But wasn't really like, you know, she'd been around for ages, on the scene.
Yeah.
And he decided that, you know, all of a sudden they were going to get married. And it was a big surprise to the rest of the Beatles, because
so they
didn't really know anything was...
No. Bang, you and me, I'll get you the ring.
So there's kind of controversy to whether she kind of found out and whether... She was kind of going to blackmail him or say, listen, you stay with me or I'm going to grass you up, because I've got photos of you before and after, and the moustache that you're rocking is a fake, and you're using it to cover up scars from plastic surgery or whatever. Now, this is Linda Asher, right? Later on, he just dumps her, right? And start seeing Heather Mills.
Well, hold on. You're going to dump this girl who's got something on you And you've been with her for how long? What, year two?
Well, Linda Rash is Linda McCartney, isn't she, I suppose?
McCartney?
Yeah, Linda McCartney, you know, makes Paul McCartney's ex-wife, you know,
made the lean cuisine. Yeah, right, okay.
But, yeah, but, you know, he was married to her for years, wasn't he? But it's like, you know what, I was thinking, where does Linda McCartney fit into this? You know what, it's obviously Linda Asher, isn't it? Yeah. So, basically, Linda Asher's been dumped by him, like, and he's now with Heather Mills.
Yeah.
But the... This is a twist, mate. This is a mad twist, right? That Heather Mills was actually the girl who was in the car.
No way.
At the beginning, right?
Well, blow me down.
So basically, Heather Mills was fucking taken in by MI5 and given a new identity, paid. A hell of a lot of money. She's been Heather Mills. She's been kicking it, being Heather Mills. Yeah, right.
Getting a reputation.
Now, don't read, mate. She got a reputation because basically she was a prostitute. Not a prostitute. I'm not going to choose my words carefully. She was an escort to a sheikh, right?
Yeah.
Now this sheikh, allegedly, right? We'll use allegedly a lot here now. So like allegedly. She was an escort to a sheikh. Now, this sheikh never publicly outed any of his escorts, apart from Heather Mills.
Why would he do that?
Exactly.
Though?
Nobody understood why he did that. He was it to discredit her? Or maybe she was just whatever the situation was.
Look, I'm going to tell people if you carry on like this.
She ended up with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Now, there's...
Oh, yeah, she did.
Obviously...
Shit, at least.
Well... How she lost a leg was a bit of a mad incident. They say it was a motorbike accident. Now, what actually happened was I think it was before she got with Paul, right? Like, and what happened was...
But then there must be evidence that...
Well, in this George Harrison's testimony...
And how old is she? And the difference of the ages, is there any difference in the age to make?
Yeah, no, like basically the ages do... she would have been about 17, 16, 17
right,
at that time as a young fan that she picked up. So, according to George Harrison's testimony, in quotations... She had kind of gone to Paul and said, tried to blackmail him.
Yeah.
When he'd rang up MI5 to speak to the handler on the case and said, I'm having problems with Rita or Heather, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Basically, the very next day, she was mowed down by a motorbike in London. She wasn't killed, but she ended up losing a leg, right? Well, this is according to the George Harrison tapes, which allegedly George Harrison.
Well, to be honest, myself, I don't think, like, it don't, and he sent it to who? Just a normal person.
He sent these tapes.
He sent them
to a music journalist in New York.
What did the journalist recommend?
The journalists The journalists actually took it to a lot of audio labs to try and get it kind of authenticated as George Harrison, and all three came back inconclusive. So
basically, it's not.
They couldn't tell you either way. Now, personally, listening to it, I don't buy that's George Harrison. Sometimes it sounds a bit like it, but like I say earlier, there's a lot of people who can do the, voice manipulation impressions, I'm not going to go into it.
Well, the 80s and all that, they had that everywhere, you know what I mean?
So, Heather Mills, obviously, marries Paul McCartney, they're together.
Rinse him together for a while, and then
the divorce hits. Now... Seen interviews with Paul McCartney where he's brought up this rumour of being...
What, Paul has?
Paul has talked openly in interviews.
You mean the not real Paul?
Paul slash Fall, because at this point, who the fuck knows, right?
Yeah,
But basically, he's talked about the fact that he's supposed to be dead and what's his thoughts on it and all the rest of it. So,
kicking it with Tupac.
So he says, well, you know, if that was true,
then
I am him, I'm the replacement. And then he'll say stuff like, but am I? You know, like, and just kind of do the whole, is there going to be a sequel, hand out the ground, obligatory fucking shot at the end of a horror movie. He does that, you know. So, you know, but then the divorce hits with Heather Mills, and like, she goes on Good Morning Television, she goes on a couple of other media outlets saying that she's got a box of evidence.
I've seen this one, yeah, I remember it at the time.
I remember watching it thinking, she is lost
the
plot.
She's going sick on here, and I thought they were going to get some.
What could she possibly be talking about? And it was like, well, no, it's not. She basically, the way she words it is, I've been betrayed. It's something happened. Basically, if it all got out, people couldn't handle the truth. I've got a box of evidence. It wasn't infidelity. It was something else. Yeah, she never said it, but she basically says if anything happens to her, then this box is going to be sent to the right people.
She might have fuck all, though.
Well, she might
be just blagging it, going, you know what, I'm going to...
Well, it's a bit of
I'm
a bold claim
this,
to go...
it saved my life.
Well, she sounded absolutely mental. Now, why would she feel like she needed to do that?
Yeah, but if you're going to act like that...
But why would she feel she needed to do that to save a life?
Protection.
Well,
self-protection.
Exactly.
If I brought someone on you,
the only reason why I'd want protection is if they'd had a previous attempt on my life, i.e. the hit by a motorcycle, I've lost a leg, you know what I mean? Like, what's next?
Yeah, next time I'm going to take you out.
I'd be on GMTV, I'd be on the BBC going, anything happens to me, I've got a box of Paul's pubes, sending off to a laboratory.
I bet that's what it is.
It's not really Paul's pubes, but you know. But then Ringo.
And the dogs.
Ringo's basically kind of alluded to the fact as well in interviews. Now he's, you know, if he.
Yeah, but Ringo was a bit like.
Yeah, Ringo. Ringo's fucking brilliant. Don't mate the guy. The guy sat playing with his train set.
I think that's
going,
Gruber's.
We'll have to get Gruber on the show one day because he's absolute fucking diamond.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So I mean, Ringo's alluded to it. I mean, there's so much. I mean, we've just skirted over it, and we couldn't even go into any more than we've done because. There's so much to this. And
right,
I mean,
all right then.
I think if you were to look into it yourself, if you want to go to through all the clues and all the kind of the detail, there's plenty of
sort of
documentaries.
Snippets so on, you can go off and look at the
mate, I feel like, you know, I've kind of gave as much information as I could possibly muster.
What, in the final segment?
Yeah, ask me any questions if you've got any questions.
What do you think? Right, one. Who do you think's liable for the whole incident? Name and shame. Who, and your final verdict, do you reckon it's Paul or not? Deal with your conscience, son.
I think genuinely, if it was the case, it would have been to do with money primarily, right? And secondary,
you can use the
suicide of your fans, and you don't want to cause mass hysteria as a good sort of catalyst for that, yeah. But at the end of the day, it's deception. It's not a right thing to do, is it? But like, I can understand why. But this is it goes back. You could go back into like Roswell and stuff like that and say. What I'm getting at is, it's like when you decide to keep the truth from somebody or kind of manipulate it to get your agenda across, then, you know, it gets harder and harder, and you get to the point where it's so difficult to come out with the truth that. Is it best? Is it better off just left being unknown? Do you know? It'll be a mystery. Now, you know, personally, if I was Paul McCartney, I'd say it was all true. If I was Paul McCartney on my deathbed, I'd say I wasn't Paul McCartney.
Yeah, and just go right. I'm fucking.
And I just leave it at that, because
whatever happens,
I'm going to admit it. Because at the end of the day, that's mate. And you've got to give your hands. If this guy Fall or Billy Shears Campbell or Billy Shepherd Campbell or whatever he's called.
Yeah, but the question is, right? We may never know.
No, hear me
we
out, right?
We may never know.
We may never know, right? But if this is true and this guy is legit the guy who replaced Paul McCartney. Oh, mate, I've got one more thing.
Go on.
There's the house that Paul McCartney grew up in, right, in Liverpool. Is National, no, it's National Trust, National Heritage, right?
Yeah, I know.
And there's a custodian of the house. There's a guy who lives in the house, right? Looks
after the
place,
yeah.
Right? He looks more like fucking Paul McCartney than Paul McCartney does, right? He's the caretaker. And people, these YouTube videos, look for him. Look for the caretaker of Paul McCartney's childhood home. And you will see this guy looks phenomenally like how cheeky Paul from the 1960s onwards.
Well,
looked,
then you're sure he's not
right?
there.
Well, this is what I mean. I said, well, what happens if he was just one of those guys? He just didn't want the fame anymore, and he
or
decided.
Or the accidents made him that
yeah,
he can't.
Yeah, he couldn't.
Do it
he
all.
Couldn't play, or he had an accident. Did have an accident, but it left him in
I
a sense where he
that,
couldn't perform, or he just wanted to have a nice, quiet life. He maybe said, I'll continue to write songs for you, but I'm not going to perform.
He might not be able to.
And they still needed a replacement. You know, he might not have died. They might be thinking, yeah, I mean, there's too much evidence and there's too much sort of...
Wow, evidence is like...
No, well, you...
A bit strong there, I
no,
think.
No, I think basically I've just gone over one album's...
Yeah,
evidence.
Yeah, I know.
But there's actually tons if you want to go out and have a look.
Well,
but
hold
like,
on then. I point this question to you then. If there is enough evidence to suggest, which like people have done on like UFOs and shit like this.
Oh, yeah.
If there's enough evidence to suggest, then go and send it to the fucking lawyers.
Well, this is it. He has actually been, there are actually...
And the lawyers have looked at it and gone, we ain't touching that. Because if I touch that, the Illuminati are going to kill
well,
me.
Well, there's
I
actually, there's
that
actually
one.
A couple of lawsuits going on at the ongoing because it's basically like paternity lawsuits. There's his daughter Michelle, who basically admitted ownership when the baby was born. He basically paid some alimony, all the rest
that.
Of it, and they approached Paul McCartney again after the case, after 66, after
right.
67, and basically said, we need more money.
Yeah.
And basically he said, no, cut him
which,
off.
Which,
right?
let's just say there a minute. From that point, on the legal terms,
oh,
yeah,
wait.
That is right, because
oh,
she
wait.
Agreed to a certain amount.
Yeah, no, wait,
for
wait a minute.
Old terms.
So basically...
And now she's come back.
Yeah, but then he's turned around and said...
Blackmail getting
he's
involved,
turned
yeah.
around... Well, that's beside the point. He's turned around and said, I'll do a paternity test and prove you're not mine.
Right.
Now... Like, he'd already admitted that the kid was his earlier on. Do you
by
know
paying.
What I mean? And bam,
by
paying.
Paying,
yeah,
yeah you're
right?
Admitting, yeah,
so
right,
you're
fuck
admitting
off.
that kid's my kid, right?
Yeah.
So, but later on has turned around and totally backpedaled it and said, I'll give you a paternity test because Fall knows that's not his kid. He can get away with doing a paternity test and have it come back negative
that's
because
true.
He knows full well
that's
it's going to come
true.
Back
that's
negative.
True.
That's what I'm saying. These paternity cases out there for Paul McCartney's children all over Europe, right, where the kid has said, I know who my dad is, but I can't get a DNA test off him to prove it,
yeah.
Right? Now, you know, there's all these cases, you know, there is evidence, there's all this DNA evidence, there's like dental records, there's like, you know, picture recognition where they look at sort of, you know, facial recognition software has looked
yeah,
at photos. No, you keep going back to that he had an accident. If Paul McCartney had an accident, he'd rather died
yeah.
or he quit. The
yeah.
guy who you see before you is not the guy who potentially even had an accident. He's a guy who got brought in to replace the guy who had an accident.
Well done. You twisted it a little
no,
bit
No, I've
there.
Not.
No, only because of this. Right. You said before about him dead.
Yeah.
And that in was it in this that they were at the grave?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... He's either dead,
yeah,
and they've written this for him,
yeah,
or
that's what I'm saying. They've written,
or he's not dead. He's just retired, and they've written bullshit.
No,
and just
because
people picked up on it.
No, because they had to replace him. They still needed to replace him with a guy who would
fit
the bill.
Yeah, but this is the replacement. Saying that, he's dead.
You've just listened to an hour and a half of the story.
Yeah, I know, but...
Let's cut it off,
anyway. There's cases now that now it's looking like he could be or he might not be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a case where...
But these are saying...
No, I'm saying, in my opinion, right, there's things pointing to the fact that he could have just been somebody who wanted to kind of live a sheltered life. He didn't want the fame anymore. He wanted to just go and live somewhere quietly.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe he did have an accident, but based on that, he thought, that's enough for me, you know. But they still would have needed to get the replacement in, the Fall guy, Fall. So, you know, but like I say, you've got to give props to the guy, because basically at this point in time, in 2018, he's been Paul McCartney longer than Paul McCartney's been Paul McCartney. And, you know, he's done it fraudulently.
And he defrauded that money as well, because the people will be paying shit for him to spend his fucking money to collect it.
He's wrote some proper mad tunes, you know. Band on the Run was pretty decent.
How do you know it might have been Paul before he died?
I'm not a big fan of Wings, but you know.
Carrie's got a file full of fucking. Oh, I've had the best fucking.
Oh,
he did leave the studio, didn't he?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This guy supposedly was quite an accomplished musician himself.
Yeah. And then got in the car and went,
you know,
ooh.
How do you know what half of the songs on. Yeah, apparently, the Beatles did take quite a left turn with the musical style. They were bubblegum, as I say. They were all doing Love, Love Me Do.
And then all of a sudden.
They've got Indian fucking sitars and string quartets and all this kind of elaborate sort of music going on in the background, and it, you know, they were getting more experimental.
Yeah.
And you can put that down to like the time in India and the LSD and stuff like that. But
you could also attribute that to
a new influence to the creative style and
flow
of the band,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
The minds, so, yeah. But how far? I mean, don't get me wrong, like,
so,
with everything, you should, like,
well,
moderation.
Well, that's...
Moderation and take control.
That's the basic story, anyway. You know, the fact is, Paul McCartney is a legend, and, you know, what... I think that legendary guy, you need a legendary legend, and he has got one, hasn't he?
Well, I suppose after he dies,
there'll be another legend.
Him, yeah.
Do you know what? Right, when he dies, I hope they replace him with another one.
Well, he'd be a fucking robot.
We'll do a part two. And basically, I'm going to revisit this anyway, because I keep coming up with... because there's always... Oh, mate, wait until we get into John Lennon, mate. We'll get to John Lennon soon.
We're getting onto the John, are we?
No, we won't do John Lennon just yet, but I do actually like the story of John Lennon. So potentially we could do... I say don't like the story of John Lennon. I don't like the story of how he was murdered, but, you know, I like... And you know what? I'm not actually a massive Beatles fan.
Or is he still sitting there with Tupac and Biggie Smalls going?
It's funny because I actually wrote this down because it was I can't remember her name. Is it Laura Foster or something? She's got a website.
Yeah.
I'll check on that name, but she's got a website called Plastic Maca, and it's all about the Paul McCartney conspiracy theory. Now, she believes that Paul McCartney wasn't the only one who was replaced. All of the Beatles were replaced.
Right, so he's turned from...
Oh, no, yeah, we're not going down that road. This is one woman's belief.
All of them are different.
Again, the views and opinions expressed here are not necessarily the views of us. There are the views of the woman who runs the Plastic Maca website. So basically, Plastic Maca lady...
What
are
they talking about?
What?
No.
Oh, yeah, right. So she believes... Putin's not really Putin.
Nah.
Putin's not really Putin. She believes. What's he called? King Jong-un. He's not real.
Yeah,
Eminem.
Yeah, he's definitely a dick.
Eminem. Lady Gaga.
Eminem,
Molly Cyrus. Bieber. They've all been replaced with clones.
Avatars. Here we go. The avatars.
I'm not joking.
Yeah,
I think Disney's Imagineers are getting so much better now that they can actually make Justin Bieber clones.
What?
That's what I'm saying. That's what they must be doing, because like the, you know, the people who do all the animatronics at Disneyland. They're doing them so good now that they've got a Justin Bieber dancing around. That's what he is. He's just an animatronic.
Well, if you think about it, the way technology works.
Fucking Bieber.
Every 2 years, we get a percent of 2%.
Yeah.
But the military complex gets 40%.
Yeah. If you think we're living in a super space age fucking world right now, then think about what the military have got. They've got 50 years ahead of us.
No, a lot longer than that.
So, you know. I wonder what they're rocking on.
They should be shuttling to fucking every planet in the universe by now.
Yeah. Well, I think that was pretty successful first full episode of the podcast, Never a Straight Answer, and that's exactly what I think you got. Not a straight answer.
Yeah, straight off there.
So,
Where did we get this from? Never a Straight Answer. What was it actually...
Where does it come from?
Yeah, it
comes from basically NASA, because they never give you a straight answer, and what do they call it? When they break it down in the letters, and an acronym.
I think so.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Not 100% no.
Well,
so you might be wrong. You might look like a jerk now.
Nah, because you know what? That's never gonna happen. So. If I'm wrong, just put it in the comments. Yeah, so basically, if you want to catch us again, so make sure you subscribe to our podcast on any of the platforms that are listed. I think we're on quite a few of them now, aren't we? I think we're on about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I think they keep adding us to new ones every day. So like,
we're that good, man.
Well,
we're just starting.
They saw it on Podcast of the Future, and they said, these guys are going to be hot.
Yeah, hot.
They'll be hot for a hot minute. So basically get them subscribed to. You can, I've not actually set up the Twitter yet, but you can follow me I need to set up the Never the Straight Answer Twitter, so you can get us on that when we're on.
You're not on Twitter.
Well, we're going to have to, really, because that's where people express their rage on Twitter.
And then look at it 5 minutes later and go, shit.
I've just eaten a pie. I'm about to have a poo.
Exactly.
I've just had a poo.
Come in and had a poo. Actually, I'm doing it right now.
I'm doing it right.
Do you want a photo?
I've got no toilet roll.
Yeah, and selfie.
No, but that's the beauty, because you can tweet somebody and say, can you just bring us a roll in? I'm on Twitter at... Gaz Duncan, or one word, GAZDUNCAN.
And I'll never be on it.
And Taylor's never on it. He's an internet hermit.
No, I'm not.
You can follow me on Instagram as well at Gaz Duncan.
It'd be one of the things that would be going into the technology and the spying and shit. Like these fucking, call it?
Right, all right, here's a tip for you, If you're going to get into technology, just don't get your dick out in front of the webcam, that's it. Or if you're going to stick a bit of tape over it.
There's a lot more shit you got to watch out on. Basically, they're listening and looking at everything.
Well, we're going to...
You can't take a shit without watching.
Well, we'll go into all that Men With Hill type nonsense at some point as well,
It's not nonsense.
So, yeah. You've been listening to Never Straight Answer with Gaz and...
Taylor,
and we'll catch you again next week. We're gonna
if we're still here.
That's if Nibiru's not took us out in a fucking.
That'd be a subject coming off as well.
In a fiery Nibiru. Ball of in a
Wormwood.
This is his baby,
it's not my baby, but he's something that.
He's experienced. He was sucked through a wormhole. Right. So
I haven't come back yet.
So I hope you've enjoyed this in-depth, kind of brain-bending episode of Never Straight Answer, and you've endured our waffle on today's topic, which was Paul McCartney. And if you tell me what you think, if you know anything about this subject, and you want to kind of like. You think I've missed anything, or there's any key evidence that I've that could go towards solving this case. I actually want to solve this case now. I want to be the guy you go, do you know what? If it wasn't for Gaz, we wouldn't have arrested Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's only one or two things it could have been. He's rather on one list or another, so, you know.
Oh,
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, right. I like
Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
I think. And I like... I liked the other one as well. So, right, well, you've been listening to a Never Straight Answer. That's it for this week. And we'll catch you again. Cheerio, chaps and chapettes.
Later.
And I'll say...
goodbye.
Peace out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.